where Isaiah came face to face with the holiness of God and what an impact it had in his life, what an impact it should have in our life, how important, how critical it is that we understand that the holiness of God is the number one attribute of the Bible and that everything is founded in that attribute. The need for salvation is because God is holy and we aren't. And the need for a blood sacrifice and a substitute and so forth, it all goes down to the holiness of God. And after coming face to face with Almighty God and His throne and His holiness, here in verse 5, the Bible says, "Then said I, woe is me. Woe is me. For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with his tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." So I've entitled the message, "Who will go? Who will go?" Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd use your word in our hearts this evening. We are 100% convinced of its power. And we ask that you would use that power tonight to work miracles in our lives, to grow us, to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, to convict us if needed, but whatever the need is, we pray the Holy Spirit would take the word and we would open our hearts and be willing to let you do the surgery tonight that needs to be done. And we pray that Jesus Christ would be magnified and meet with us now and guide us every step of the way through this service. We ask this in His precious name. Amen. Woe is me. You know, that's where it all begins. When we share the gospel with a lost person, we always begin with sin. That we do not measure up. All have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. And when we're faced with the holiness of God, we're faced with our unworthiness, our sinfulness. And we are unworthy. Isaiah 53, if you turn there, most of us know this verse. We used it in our witnessing class last week. Notice Isaiah 53:6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." That's us. We are like sheep. If you ever have anything to do with sheep, you know why God chose to compare us to sheep. And it says, go his own way. Go astray. And then if you look in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, most of us know this passage as well, maybe not by heart, but you at least know of it. God here describes the heart of man, which is why we can't trust our hearts. We can only trust the Word. But notice Jeremiah 17, 9. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" We are unworthy. We are unworthy to enter the holiness and the presence of Almighty God, and yet we can, as we saw last week, because of the blood of Jesus Christ that has been applied to our account, we can come boldly into the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And if you would look at Romans 5 as well, please. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. The Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While we were yet sinners. "Woe is me," Isaiah said. "I have been in the presence of a holy God. And what am I but a sinner?" And that's where the gospel always begins, with sin. can't get someone saved until you get them lost. Amen. It has to begin with understanding that we are sinners, that we deserve to pay for our sin. The penalty for sin is eternal death and hell. Then we can get somewhere once a person is willing to acknowledge those truths and understand that God became a man and died as our substitute and shed His blood and rose again for us and offers us eternal life. But woe is me, that's where it should start. I'm not worthy of salvation. And I'm not talking in a Calvinistic sense. You know how the Calvinists are. They just go around scooping up gravel with their lower lip because they're so unworthy. And that's not how it's supposed to be. We're born again. We're children of God. We're on our way to heaven. But we must never forget that if it wasn't for God's mercy, that none of that would be true. And somewhere along the way, we were willing to acknowledge that it was true. And as it says there in Revelation 22:17, whosoever will may come, we came. We were willing to approach God in His holiness, accept that we are unworthy, and accept His payment, His substitute for our sin. But we can't serve the Lord until something happens. And it says in verse 7 of our passage, this has touched our lips, thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Once we've come face to face with God's holiness and understand that we are sinners and we are unworthy, then it hopefully will make us willing to come and say, Lord, I accept what You did, and I accept Your payment for my sin. I accept Your gift of salvation. And when we do that, this is what happens. Our iniquity is taken away, praise the Lord. Our sin is purged. We don't deserve that. It happens because of the God that we serve and His willingness through His mercy and His love to do that for us. Our sin is purged. Our iniquity is taken away. Go, if you would, to Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. The Bible tells us here, Titus 2:14, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. Praise God, the day we were saved, we were redeemed from all iniquity. Our sin was purged, all of our iniquity was taken away. As we're told in 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And now we can hear the voice of the Lord. Now we can serve the Lord. But first, we have to acknowledge He's holy and we're not, and get our sin taken care of. It's called salvation, being born again. And so after this had occurred in the life of Isaiah, in this amazing instance where he was allowed to get a glimpse of heaven, the Bible says in verse 8, I heard the voice of the Lord. Now, you can't hear the voice of the Lord until your sin's taken away. Now, the Bible tells us that through salvation, we looked at this Wednesday night, through the salvation of Jesus Christ, we have access to God's throne. Prior to that, we do not. People can pray all they want, and a lot of people do, but it's not getting through. Because you cannot access God's throne unless you do it through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we all understand that. But once we have done that, now we can hear the voice of the Lord through His Word. Now, once our sin has been dealt with, all of our sin, but also as Christians, what happens when we allow sin into our lives? It hinders that fellowship with God, and it makes it more difficult to hear what God has to say. Our sins, as we read in Isaiah, we'll turn there, Isaiah 59, our sins separate us. Our sins form that barrier to that sweet fellowship that God wants to have with us, that Adam and Eve had in the garden. Sin hinders that. God created us to fellowship with Him, and that fellowship gets hindered by sin. Isaiah 59, verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And so to hear the voice of the Lord, first we have to be born again. But we also need to be walking in the Spirit, which means we're keeping short accounts with God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That verse, 1 John 1:9, is written to Christians. So to be able to hear the voice of the Lord, the sin has to be dealt with. Not only the initial sin, all of our sin, through the blood of Jesus, but then in our daily walk with Jesus Christ, we need to be literally walking with him. The sin has to be dealt with, the dirt that we're accumulating. That's what Jesus was trying to teach when he, remember when he washed the disciples' feet, he was not only teaching servanthood, but then when he came to Peter, Peter initially said, well, the King of Kings is not going to wash my feet. And I'm paraphrasing. And Jesus said, well, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part in us. And he said, well, then wash my whole body. And Jesus said, he that is clean only needs his feet to be washed. We're already clean, but we still accumulate some dirt while we're walking around in the world, don't we? The devil still causes trouble. Our flesh still gets us into trouble. This world causes us trouble, and we get dirty. And we have to deal with that so that we can hear the voice of the Lord. Now, are we worthy to serve the Lord? Absolutely not. And notice, that was Isaiah's thing. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Are we worthy? Every person I've ever spoken to that has surrendered to serve the Lord full time, and everybody's experience and situation and the Word of God is different in their lives, but their one thing that I have found to be common among all of them is they felt unworthy. They felt initially, why would God want me of all people? Because we know our own weaknesses. We know our own failures. Why would God want to use me? Why wouldn't he want to use someone else? Well, because we're all sinners. And God wants to use all of us to serve him. But are we worthy? Of course not. Moses, when he was called, he had already committed murder. By the time God called him there in Exodus chapter 3 and 4. Jeremiah, if you look in Jeremiah chapter 1, claimed that basically he wasn't able to do it. Notice Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. This is when God was calling Jeremiah to be one of his great prophets. Jeremiah said, basically, I can't do it. Moses said, I can't do it. John the Baptist, when he came to baptize, what did he say? I'm not worthy. The one that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. Peter and Andrew, what were they? They were fishers. Just common fishermen. What do they all have in common? They weren't worthy. Nobody is. Amen? None of us are worthy. That's not the point. We have been made part of Jesus Christ. We have been made accepted in the Beloved when we trusted Jesus Christ and received salvation. And so now we have the Spirit of God. Now we have God on our side, and he wants to use us. It's not based on worthiness. If God only chose to use perfect people to serve him, nothing would get done. And yet, many Christians, I've heard them. This is their excuse. Oh, I'm not good at such and such, or I can't do this, or I can't play the piano, or I can't speak well, or I'm not good with people, or I'm cross-eyed, or whatever. But God just can't use me. You know what? That's just an excuse. God can use anybody that's willing to be used. Because isn't it God that does it? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. And that's why we miss the mark here because we start looking at our abilities and our strengths. Don't look at those things. Look at God and God's strengths and God's power. God can do it if we're willing. He'll do it through us. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will what? Do it. That says that God will do it. It's not up to us. We don't have the ability. We don't have the wisdom. We don't have the power. We don't have anything. We're just sinners. But once we're saved, now we have the Holy Ghost, we have the Word of God, and we have God on our side, and I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So go back to our passage, Isaiah 6. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Who will go? I believe God is asking that question of every believer, because he's already told us what our mission is. Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're not just talking tonight about being a missionary, being a pastor. We're talking about being a servant of Jesus Christ. And God asks every believer, who will go? Who will go? And I'm so thankful for Isaiah's answer. Then said I can't do it. That's not what he said, is it? But that's what a lot of Christians say. Then said I don't have time. Then said I, like Moses, send someone else. Send my brother. No, he said, send me. Here am I. Send me. That's what God's looking for, a willingness. Go, if you would, to Matthew chapter 4. We'll see an example of this in the lives of some of the disciples. This willingness to just go. Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. That's a really simple passage in the Word of God, isn't it? It's just so straightforward. Straightway they left their nets and they followed Jesus. Who were they? They were sinners. They were fishermen. They had no experience in ministering to people. No experience in preaching the gospel. They had none of that. And Christ calls them and they said, well, here we are. If you can use us, here we are. And did he use them? I would say. Read the second half of the book of Acts. The first half of the book of Acts is all about a man named Peter. A fisherman who literally turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ. How? How was that possible? A fisherman? A nobody? It was about the willingness. It's all about the willingness. Like Isaiah said, here am I. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. I'm unworthy. I'm a sinner. I don't even deserve to be in your presence, Lord. But here am I. Send me. And guess what? Isaiah is one of the greatest books in the Old Testament. God did just that. Imagine some of the great truths we have that God gave us through Isaiah. About the virgin birth of Jesus Christ in chapter 7. About the fact that the Son of God would be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father in chapter 9. That Jehovah's everlasting strength in chapter 12. Chapter 53, the gospel in the Old Testament about Jesus Christ bearing our sins. All that came through a man named Isaiah who said, I'm unworthy. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. But Lord, if you're going to ask, and that's what it says, who will go for us? Who can I send? Isaiah said, here am I. And I believe God is asking every believer in Jesus Christ this same question. If you're born again, your sins are purged, you're on your way to heaven, you're God's child, who will go for us? Will you follow through with what I've asked you to do and serve me? That's what he asks. Go to Philippians chapter 2, if you would, in verse 14, where we will find that, again, that is our mission. That's why we're here. We are here to make a difference. God left us here after we got saved because our salvation is sealed. Our destiny is done. We're going to heaven. There's nothing the devil can do about that. So why does he leave us here? So we can go. Somebody told us. He wants us to tell somebody. Philippians chapter 2, 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. That's what God wants. He says, who will go? Who will go and shine as a light in the world? Who will go and hold forth the word of life? That's all God wants us to do. The word is what has the power. We don't have the power to save anybody. But we've been given this precious thing called the gospel. God just wants us to take it. He'll do the rest. But he's looking for Christians who, like Isaiah, will say, here am I. Here am I. Send me. I don't know where you're going to send me or when, but here am I. And just imagine what God could do if every believer in Jesus Christ just said those five words. Here am I, send me. And meant it. Just those five words. Because I believe God's asking every believer this same question. Who will go? Who will care enough about the lost to go? Who will care enough about what I want, which is to see the whole world saved? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Who will care enough about what my will is to go? To maybe forsake some of their own selfish desires, their own selfish wants, and just go. And tell others what I did for them through Jesus Christ. Here am I. Send me. Not complicated. It's a matter of the heart, isn't it? It's a matter of the heart. And God wants every believer to get to that point in their lives where they're willing to say, I know that I belong to you doctrinally, Lord, but now my heart belongs to you as well, and I want you to take control of my life. I want you to use me, because we already belong to him. That's a done deal, right? Look at 1 Corinthians 6. That's already done. We have already been bought and paid for, and he owns us. And that's not a bad thing, because he's wonderful. He's a great father. He's a great Lord. Notice 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we already belong to him. That's not an argument. We're his already. But he wants our hearts. He wants us, like Isaiah, to say, yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I'm unworthy. I can't believe that God would care enough about me to purge my sin and take away all my iniquity. But he did. And then after he does that for us, he asks the question. Who will go? all of us, like Isaiah, would just say, "Here am I, send me." You know what God will do? He'll use us. All in different ways, different places, but He will use us. That's why we're here. So He can use us to make a difference in the lives of other people. That's how it's worked for 2,000 years. That's why we're here tonight. Because some people along the way, like Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." Who will go? God asks. What a simple question. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for